Hello, everyone, and welcome to Griplock, Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor and Connor.
Hey.
And this is technically the first Griplock of the offseason.
Yes.
Technically, but we're not doing offseason Griplock yet.
Okay, good. So I was like, I don't feel like it doesn't really
become
well.
It doesn't really become offseason Griplock until after the Grippies, because like we have to talk about season still.
Yeah.
And then we have Grippies.
It's true.
And then it's like,
are the Grippies next week or 2 weeks from now?
Next week.
I think we got to go 2 weeks from now.
If we're lining up with last year, it's next.
I think it's two weeks.
And then we turn into a balloon animal podcast.
So what are we going to talk about next week?
We can start off season Griplock. We just got to have enough time to get the trophies right and ready. I feel like if it's
we didn't have the trophies last year.
Yeah, we did.
I just watched it this morning.
We didn't?
Didn't look like it.
I thought we had them like lined in a V.
I thought we did. I remember that too.
I mean, I clicked on it last year's Grippies and I was like skimming through a little bit and I didn't see
one. Did we just mail it out after?
Yeah.
I remember that being in a V on the desk as well.
But that was like a picture you took, I think, once they came in.
If we ignore the trophies, we can do the Grippies next week. Because the rest of the Grippies doesn't take much.
To
the
be determined. Takes a lot. To be determined. We got to figure it out. To be determined.
Well, do we want the trophies here or not? We can do it on air. Do we want the trophies here on air or want to do it in the trophies after?
I think
after?
It'd be more important to be... I actually don't even know. It might be more important to have the trophies, considering the trophies are a hot topic. Let's get a timeline on the trophies. Because okay. If it's going to take 3 weeks, then we just got to do it.
We'll contact All Business Brad.
Yeah. We already have the trophy and the stamp.
So. Yeah. Well, it really just depends on how long it takes someone to dye those discs.
Yeah. That's a good point.
surely they can dye them by next week.
Did you want... We could send like that light bulb behind me or something like that.
That is true.
Because it's from the Griplock set.
If we need trophies, we could just like take the cabinets out of your filing cabinet and use those.
That's true too. Or just send someone this desk.
Yeah.
That's true.
But we'll wood carve it first.
Yeah. We'll burn something into it that says
Griplock. What about Trevor's hat? It was on Trevor's hat during Griplock.
There we go.
On Trevor's hat.
And we'll sign it. But we'll put the right year on it.
Yeah.
All right. Hit him with it. Patreon question of the week. To start it all off. If you don't know where this comes from, it comes from patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf. The Heiser Club mailbag goes down each and every week. People can ask us whatever question and we answer them. Some are disc golf related, some are not. This one actually didn't get answered because it got asked after we recorded it last week, but I felt like it was a good question, so we'll ask it here. It comes from Gary D'Addario. He said, if the Pro Tour had an Elite Series event where the players had to play Ripped Revenge, which current pro would be the best at the format?
I think my answer is Brody, because he's played it.
Well,
he loses to Paul every time he's ever played it.
Here's the thing.
Paul's disgusting
Paul,
in Ripped Revenge.
Paul is the greatest Ripped Revenge player I've ever
That's
seen.
Actually a good point, because he has like all the strategy in his head.
Whenever, I don't know how he's so good at it.
Paul has like certain things that he's kind of like savant-esque at, and Ripped Revenge is one of those things where like he would just get to the end of the game and he would have like the perfect cards and you'd just be like, what in the world?
It happened every time.
And yeah. I feel like every time he holds the cards, he looks so confident. He's like, I know exactly what I'm doing with these.
Paul would win.
Well, it's also, he knows how to throw every shot.
He got all the shots, man.
All right, you guys are right. We're taking
I think
Paul.
I got to go Paul. Yeah. Paul. Well, because the other...
We haven't seen enough players play Ripped Revenge.
That's the other thing is like, you'd have to factor just like what players
I'm trying to think of someone who's
shot.
Good. I feel like
Kyle Klein is come... Like Kyle Klein or Ricky would both be good at it.
Simon Robinson. I'm thinking about people who are kind of goofy, because I feel like goofy people might be better at throwing
Simon
shots.
Would be good at it.
Simon
would be very, very good. I just don't know if he'd have that like killer strategy.
I don't know. He seems like a pretty bright guy.
Isaac Robinson's a big board game guy.
Is he?
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what he doesn't. Jason was tagging me and stuff all weekend, where Isaac Robinson said something in an interview where he like plays Monopoly very regularly and loves Settlers of Catan.
Oh, so he's
love...
not, but he's, so he's not a board game guy.
No, he is. Jason was freaking out over it. No, he listed like 10 board games.
Okay.
He's just on his Monopoly
the
kick.
The two
right
that
now.
You just named are really are casual, according to the...
I don't think you can really call Monopoly casual.
I would never... Some might.
Settlers is. Settlers is a very casual game, but I call it Settlers. So that's how you know I'm in the know.
He's in the know.
If you haven't listened to Bards of the Board, I mean, what are you doing with your life? DGPT Championship went down this past weekend, and it was very exciting. I will say, let's talk format for a second.
Let's talk first. Barbasol.
Close shave presented by Barbasol. It was funny. Terry said something. Ricky threw a shot, and they like did the close shave replay.
Yeah.
And then Terry was like, because he nicked a tree, and then Terry tried tying it in, and he was like, He's like, look at that little tree, Nick. He's like, which, by the way, if you use Barbasol, you don't have to worry about getting nicked at all. And I was like, I feel like that would be like one of the things on
in the don't say you can't get nicked.
Yeah, because like you definitely can. Yeah. Because it doesn't like one my, shaving cream. If you put shaving cream like, on and still just take a razor blade, yeah, you're gonna get
stab myself.
Oh yeah,
face.
Terry.
I think it's really funny when the Pro Tour gets a.
Ow, I punched myself.
This is why
so hard.
This is actually my pitch to big companies to advertise with the Pro Tour, because whenever you do, the commentators and everybody gets all giddy about it, and they probably do 10 times the airtime that they need to, because they just keep talking about it. They just won't shut up about it. And that's just what happened. So if you're listening, IKEA, sponsor us.
IKEA?
They're going to be talking about sofas the entire round.
And you know, he looks so comfortable on that side of the fairway. Like, he just got a brand new couch from IKEA.
I will say, I just reassembled my IKEA bed for like the third time.
Hit him with it.
Takes like 10 minutes. Gosh, convenient. Man.
Similar to the amount of time that the backup was caused on hole 18. Thoughts on the format overall, though? I thought it was definitely entertaining. I liked it more than last year or previous year's formats. It felt more like an actual tournament. I still wish the stroke head start stayed, though. Like, I wish it didn't reset after round two, because that was a weird thing of, like...
It's weird when you reset the tournament and you've, like, got this momentum and storyline building, and then they just chop it up.
I did see, like, it wouldn't have really changed much, someone said. I'd have to go, like, do the math, because you disc created them as two separate tournaments.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's
on
a butterfly effect, though.
But, it would have. I feel like it would have made things... On FPO, especially, would have made things more interesting, because Kristen... kind of sucked in the last two rounds. But I don't know, because you mentioned before that the problem with the stroke head start staying is you could have someone run away with it. This at least guarantees it's going to be close going into the last two rounds, because everyone's even going
into
the last two rounds.
I think they kind of null and voided that, though, when they went to the hardest, thickest
hard course
ever. Like, I think they could have... At a course like this, you could keep the stroke head start around, no problem.
I liked the Nevin changes. I thought the course played very well. I really enjoyed it.
Hole 18 is crazy.
Hole 18, 17 and 18, and they still had, like, last year's hole 18 was, what, like, hole 6 or something like that?
Yeah.
Like, a 10-under round was, like, mind-boggling when I think Ricky shot it.
Of course, man. Gosh, when you get back in the woods and you see guys, like, hit a tree, like, 15 feet off the tee and kick 30 feet right, and you're just like, well, they're not getting up and down from there. Mm-hmm. Like, wooded golf is brutal. It's just so different.
It was awesome. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. On the MPO side, we had Ricky Wysocki take it down. Kyle Klein came in second. Calvin Heimberg in third. And then on the FPO side, we had Big Money Missy Gannon take it down. Owen Scoggins and Cap Merch tied for second. I mean, at what point, how does Missy Gannon keep doing this?
Well, it's really funny, because the last time the Pro Tour leaned into this was right after Ledgestone, I guess.
I think so.
And they like threw up a stat, and it was kind of skewed. Like, it was kind of like one of those things where it was a fun bit, but the stats weren't quite there, because like the argument was there was like two events that were skewing her entire average winnings, one of them being the Tour Championship, which was so much money. But now
it's
with
really
another
gonna be.
One, it's like it's starting, it is becoming a thing at this point. Back-to-back Tour Championships, like, and back-to-back, she win Ledgestone and Tour Championship back-to-back years, I think.
Did she win back-to-back Tour Championships or two? I think she lost last year's Tour Championship to Kristen.
And then she won the one before that?
Yeah, she won the one before. She came in second last year and then won this year.
Something to be said, though.
Where someone responded...
Said. Missy Gannon made the bag
here.
This year.
Her average payout at events she's won is $12,187.
That's amazing.
And so if she wins an event, she's won an average of $12,000.
Yeah, my mom was like...
That's crazy.
Like, oh, like, her fiancé or husband or whatever, like, this... He probably doesn't work, huh? I'm like, no.
He's her caddy.
Yeah, I was like, he's caddying for her. She's making over six figures this year.
That's crazy.
Hot dang.
Wow.
What did she end up cashing? It was like
95 grand.
And that doesn't include sponsorship, obviously.
Exactly. And bonuses and whatever. She probably made darn near $150,000 this year.
Maybe more.
Crazy.
Dang. Yeah.
Good for Missy Gannon.
She had a 3-under final round with 100% C1X putting. It was electric. There was some putts down the stretch that were like...
Missy.
A lot of pressure on him, you know, could have made things swing into Owen's favor, or Cap Merch was pushing too, and she just kept hitting him time and time again. She just
100%.
didn't mess up.
So bizarre.
And there was a lot of, it wasn't like 100% where she just like had 20 footers all day. Uh-huh. Like she had a lot of, I'll have to actually pull it up to see how many, but it felt like three or four 27 to 30 footers.
That's putting awesome. Well. She's really tough to beat. It's still bizarre to me watching disc golfers.
It's three 27 footers. So within the 100% C1X. And the rest, I mean, because you disc it a wide range, so 16 footer could be 22 feet. You never really know. But she hit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 putts outside of the X in C1X.
That's good. That's
so
really
it's not cool. Like one of those fake stats where she just parked all day. Like yeah. She didn't mess up. She just didn't miss.
It is still bizarre to me watching these disc golfers who like just a few years ago, like if you won a good tournament, you made like $5,000 and they're like trying to make putts for $40,000. And yeah, it's like crazy. You're watching, like I'm watching a guy like Kyle Klein, who is like a teen, like was, I mean, he's not a teenager anymore, but like he was like,
he's like what, 22?
He's young. Like he was just a few years ago, probably playing disc golf for scraps. And like, if he would have came back and won, he was going to make $40,000.
Well, he would have made $70,000 in 2 weeks.
Yeah, like
because he made 30 yeah, last week.
That's what
he
I'm
made
saying.
What, like, 50,000 in 2 weeks.
That's
he
what
came
I'm saying.
Second.
These kids, like these that's kids, are so getting crazy. Rich in front of our eyes. It's wild. It's like insane to watch.
That is insane.
It's just insane when it's the same people. Like this won't really happen. It might happen again if disc golf booms a second time, but they're already like a lot of the top players are already well off. So if they go from already well off to even more well off, that's one thing. But watching players who had to struggle become like rich from disc golf is very fun.
Well, it makes it really exciting too, because what's like, what was the difference between like second and third place at USCGC?
USCGC?
Yeah.
I'll pull it up.
Because
second,
we were,
second and
we
third
were watching,
it was like 8,000.
Whenever we were watching the final round, me and
second and third was, well, there was a two-way tie for third, but ended up being okay. $10,000
between, like, that's the difference.
Yeah, Bradley made $20,000 coming in second. Isaac Robinson made $10,000 coming
so
in third.
So that's like, that's what makes it so, like, it makes it so much more exciting in disc golf, because the second, third, like those positions mean a lot. And so whenever we were watching, it was still exciting to watch the final stretch of USCGC. Because one, I mean, a couple OB strokes and Bradley Williams still could have got in there. But also, he still had to hold it together because there's still $10,000 on the line for if he slipped down to third or fourth. It's crazy.
It's serious business. It really is.
I'm trying to pull up the payout.
It's 40, 22.
And then it goes
14, 12, something like that.
I feel like I used to view disc golf as like they're just competing just for the accolade.
Basically they were, because back then it was a few, I mean, it was still a few thousand dollars,
which is great.
But when you like look at it compared to now,
they're not just playing for first. They're playing for good money.
The difference between first and second was $18,000 this weekend. Whew. And then the difference between first and third was $26,000. So there's an 8,000 drop off from second to third.
The drop offs were pretty ruthless until you, once you got to fourth. Then
yeah, from third to fourth,
each.
It was $4,000. But still, like if you're in fourth place, you have a chance to get to third. There's $4,000 difference.
That's still a lot $4,000 putt.
That's like what you used to win. It used to be like the winner of an elite series got like $4,000 or $5,000, and second place got like $3,000. So it was like $2,000, still a lot of money. But
yeah.
When the difference between first and second is $18,000.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money.
That's a lot.
There's a lot of money to be won.
Those putts are worth a lot at that point.
Yeah, a lot more pressure on those things.
I can't even imagine.
Now,
I can imagine, and I don't like it.
It was a weird end of the season for Kristen here. She honestly just didn't really look like herself out there. She had a lot of big mistakes, like hitting first tree, missing mandos, throwing OB, and just mental errors all around. Like, it just didn't really... I don't know. It just didn't feel like she still set the season winnings record with a little over $116,000 this year, which is crazy that she did that without the tour championship. Last year, she had the tour championship to get to like 109, I think. She got to 116 this year, so that just speaks to how good her season was in general. But it didn't feel satisfying, like the way, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like it felt like with how the season she had, like she needed to like just win it, and then it would have been like all right in the world.
Yeah, I know she posted and was like saying that she was just struggling like internally with some stuff and trying to figure out her game. But yeah, it was a little bit of a bitter way for the end of season, not winning either of the last two events. But it's reading into it for sure.
Well, she still had the greatest FPO season probably of all time.
Yeah.
One of the greatest seasons of all time. it just would have been sick to have ended it with a bang bang.
It definitely, it definitely sucks when you win everything and then the one you can't win is the one that there's $40,000 for. That does suck. And not only that, but you didn't even get second or third. That's pretty tough. Crazy.
Then the other storyline here from this whole thing was not on lead card, not at all. It was actually from a hot mic on hole 18. So the Pro Tour had this stream going on YouTube that was just hole 18, just streaming live. And I started getting like tagged and stuff because at about an hour, it was on the, I don't know, like third or fourth day, about an hour and 45 minutes into this live stream, you can hear this argument go down between Katrina Allen and Jessica Weiss. They got into it on hole 18. Apparently, it all started. You had it pulled up from the UDisc scorekeeper was explaining.
Yeah.
Apparently, it all started because Katrina Allen thought Jessica Weiss took a 10. Jessica Weiss thought she took a...
So she took an 8.
8.
And they all counted and decided it was a 9.
Yeah, they all counted and decided it was a 9.
So they're both wrong.
Not a big deal.
Yeah.
Right? You got to the right score at the end. But then it like got escalated from there. You can hear some of the quotes back and forth, and you can tell who said what, but obviously you can't see them. It sounds like when it was all said and done, I mean, there was the B word was thrown out there, the F word. Like, it was a heated exchange. Basically, at one point, Katrina Allen, according to this UDisc scorekeeper, said something about, like, I don't understand how you've been playing for this long and you can't count your score. And then on the coverage, you can, or on this live hot feed, you can hear what appears to be Jessica Weiss, and it would make sense in this scenario, said, B, I've been playing for a lot longer than that. Little retort there. And then at some point, you hear what sounds like Ella Hansen crying and saying, I'm out of here and leaving. And you hear, I don't know it's who chaos. Says it, but like someone says effing ridiculous or something like that right up next to the mic. So chaotic.
No pain, no gain on that mic, am I right?
Apparently a marshal had to get involved from what people were saying on Reddit. And someone on Reddit, three people on Reddit I saw, I have not heard anything to confirm this, but three people on Reddit are claiming that Katrina Allen is facing a suspension going into next year. Spicy. On what grounds or how? I don't know. Again, all you can tell is just like the hot mic. You can hear people are getting upset at each other. You can tell who's who.
It definitely would have had to been if there was like a legitimate verbal assault or like some serious, like some pretty bad things would have had to been said, I think, to warrant a suspension. But I don't know. This is pretty, it doesn't really happen. You know, it's kind of unprecedented a little bit.
Well, it might happen more than we think. It just doesn't normally happen. There's a hot mic by 18 to catch whatever the heck goes down.
But you're right. But yeah, we certainly never hear about things getting blown out of proportion like that.
I think it was just a long, rough season for Katrina Allen boiled over. And it just kind of all seemed to have spilled out. Because at one point someone said, just because you're having a rough day doesn't mean you have to be rude to all of us. And like things got heated quick is what it sounded like.
I would have to hear, I'd really have to hear the entire story and all the transcript and what was said before I could make a judgment call on like, does that deserve a suspension or not? But if she was she was legitimately like verbally attacking all of her card mates, then like I could see like a one event suspension, you know, if it was like a, hey, we're not going to tolerate that slap on the wrist situation.
Well, but I don't know.
I'm not going to see a Nico LaCastro situation.
Well, I think the tough part is like where is the suspension from? You know what I mean? Like, is it from the Pro Tour? Or is it from
probably
the PDGA?
And maybe it's a fine.
Well, like, have they set up the fine stuff yet?
Because I know didn't they say that they were?
They were getting ready for it. That's what the tour card was, like, being implemented for, so that they could do fines and stuff, but I don't know if it's fully in.
Yeah.
Nothing's been said from the Pro Tour. Like, there's been nothing addressing it. This is all the UDisc guy who was there. The UDisc guy, I mean, the guy keeping score. He was just volunteer. He doesn't, not representing UDisc. The guy who was keeping score for UDisc, he posted something on Reddit, and then you can hear some of the transcript for yourself, and you can piece together who's saying what based on just knowing their voices on the hole 18. The whole Marshall getting involved suspension thing, that's just from like two Reddit comments. That's not confirmed from anyone who would know.
Yeah, people were saying that like a Marshall had to get in between them to where like they were going to fight each other.
Yeah, we weren't on the ground, so no clue. But
show me the footage.
You can hear it on 18, so you can confirm at least a lot of what is being said is true because you can hear it for yourself.
Yeah, there are definitely some stuff going on and some heated people, that's for sure.
So that'll be an interesting storyline to follow to see if anything comes of that. But in my opinion, it'll probably just be like all settled, you know, no suspension and roll into next year.
We'll see.
Forget it even happened. But it was definitely an interesting one to wrap it up there. And interesting that the Pro Tour just happened to have a camera live. And I thought once I saw it, I was like, I've got to listen to this now because surely the Pro Tour is going to pull this.
Sure.
And they never did. It's still up. So if you haven't heard it, you can find a link to it on Reddit and go listen to it with the timestamp. Now, on the MPO side, Ricky Wysocki went unconscious this final round. Yeah, it started with like a, well, let's see what UDisc gives him on hole one, but it was like 65 feet.
Bomb.
A 60 footer on hole one is what kicked this whole thing off. And then he proceeded to putt 100% C1X, or sorry, 100% circle two. That doesn't include a 75 foot putt on hole 16 that slammed a door in Kyle Klein's face.
Elevated basket. So
it was,
oh my gosh.
I thought he was going to lay up. Because I was like,
that putter jumped out of his hand.
I was thinking in my head, he was walking up to that putt, and at that point, I think he had a two-stroke lead. Kyle was inside the circle, if I'm not mistaken, for birdie. I think he was at circle's edge. Yeah, 27 feet. And so in my head, I was like, Ricky should just lay this up and then go into 17, 18, because so much can happen on 17, 18. I was like, why? Again, I'm just thinking it of like, why run this putt? But, you know, it's anti-Hunter. Hunter should have been thinking, run the crap out of this putt, take it in your own hands. And that's what Ricky did. And my gosh, when he hit that putt, I think he lost control of his body.
He was
like raptor legging and like turning back and forth. It was like one of the most hype disc golf moments.
It was
unfortunately,
sweet.
The crowd wasn't massive.
Unfortunately, there was like 80 people there to see it.
Yeah, but he was hype enough for there to be 5,000.
That's true. Ricky doesn't care. He doesn't need to feed off the crowd.
It was an insane performance. It kind of like, so we've had Ricky be injured all year, and so this like putting performance, it kind of like assuaged my desire to see him on top again. Like I felt like all year we were waiting for Ricky to like be himself.
Yeah,
and this reminded me of like what we saw in 2015, 2016. It wasn't just good for back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, no, Ricky is that good.
He's very fun to watch when he's playing well.
It was disgusting.
He has an exciting game. He throws all the shots. Just super athletic guy. And I think this win was really big for him because I don't give a lot of credit to the tour championship winner as far as like player of the year and that kind of thing. But it's a narrative changer for his season.
Yeah.
It
doubled his tour earnings, basically.
Right. Yeah, financially, it's very nice.
I mean, he's making like $1 million a year, but I'm just saying, like, hey, stats-wise.
$40,000. But, I think it's a very nice, like, it's a way for people to be able to look back on the season from Rick and be like, yeah, okay, he won on the tour and he got the tour championship. Like, it's a fine season. Nothing wrong with it. It's pretty good.
He took down a silver event in the preserve and the tour championship.
I think that makes it...
Injured.
Yeah, it's a sweet ending to the season. It makes it a pretty good season. It was a narrative changer and it shifts it a little bit that way. So I think that was an important win for him.
Yeah.
It's a great way to go into the offseason.
No, for sure. It gives him Ricky's favorite word, gives him a lot of momentum going into the offseason.
That's right.
And I think he seemed, there's just certain players like have this gear that they can kick it into. And I think Sexton was talking about it on the broadcast of his list of the three players that have that gear. It was like shortly after Ricky hit the putt on one. And his list was Climo, Ricky, and Macbeth of like, they have this gear where when they get a win in their sight, then they can just shift it to another level.
Yeah.
And Ricky I always believed that pre the last like few years of like McBeast mode being a thing. When Ricky gets into, he's not missing a putt within 80 feet, no one can catch him.
I would argue Isaac Robinson's looked that way a little bit this year.
But then like when the modern era has come, Ricky's obviously been dealing with Lyme's disease. Paul's kind of faded a little bit. And it's like the question I found myself asking was like, was that dominance just because of how weak the field was? And then when you see Ricky do it against this field in that final round, it like reminds you of like, no, they're just like, when they shift it to that gear, it really is no one in the world can touch them.
Yeah.
Because like apparently Kyle Klein on like hole, I don't know what it was, after Ricky hit one of his, I think it was like a second or third circle two putt, it was probably the 50 footer on hole three. It was either Big Germ or Brian Earhart was like on the grounds doing a ground reporting. And talked to Kyle Klein, and Kyle said something along the lines of like, well, Ricky's putt's on, so at least I can get second today. Like, that's just that's what happens when a guy like Ricky or Paul used to do it to people all the time, show up and they hit every time you think the door's open, it's like, yeah, boom, 60-footer on one. Boom, 50-footer on three. And you're I can't do anything about
it. The easiest way to demoralize and beat somebody is with circle two putting. I think it's such an underrated statistic because not only do you almost steal a stroke for yourself, somebody who thought they were getting back in just got the door slammed in their face. And if it happens over and over and over again, they begin to think, it's, you know what? It's honestly like when we play doubles against teams like that. And
it sucks.
After a while, you just get into the mindset of like, well, we know we're making this. And you just get to a point where like there's no way back.
Yeah.
And that is what circle two putting can do at its best.
Now, Kyle Klein did hold his own out there. He ended up shooting 7 under that final round. And he had a chance on 18 to put pressure on Rick.
Put pressure.
Yeah. Not necessarily to
Rick
take the
win.
Rick
got a break and a half on 18, though. That forehand he threw on his second shot was going 100 miles an hour into the woods and just deflected straight back out to the edge.
Yeah.
So Kyle didn't execute a shot anyways, but if that thing had gone into the woods, I don't know.
No, he definitely, because Ricky, where he went, it was most likely, no matter what, because that was 1-2, he was basically pitching out and most likely taking a bogey.
Yeah, Kyle had to make birdie no matter what.
And so if Kyle birdied, now we're talking playoff. And that's kind of where my head was at, because Kyle Klein hadn't really messed up yet that day. Like, every chance he had, you know, 100% C1X putting, he hit a circle two putt. Like, he was playing very solid. This course was extremely difficult, and he was sitting at 8 under, I believe, standing on 18. And he had a chance to get up and down, and he just overturned it. He went backhand.
Yeah.
A lot of players are going like a huge power forehand because you had to make the mando. He went with a turnover backhand. And I think I thought that he was expecting it to flex. You thought he yanked it. Either way, he messed up.
The line
obviously
just surprised me, honestly. Like,
the commentaries were surprised he went backhand.
I get the forehand play makes sense to avoid if you're worried about the skip. It was short grass. The problem, my thing is, there's a lot of room to the left of the basket, and like the green's pretty big in general. Playing that, like, either if it was an Anheuser or if you're truly trying to play a flex shot, like, that's just a difficult shot to throw rather than just taking it wide, because he didn't have to throw it that hard. You could tell he kind of just like finessed it up there because his drive was really good. And I was just surprised when it came out of his hand on like this high, steep Anheuser angle. It was just an interesting shot. I'd like to know like what he wanted it to do, like what his goal was. Maybe it got shoved by wind or something. There wasn't really much out there. But yeah, it just surprised me. He's a great forehand player. I was interested to see that he went with that shot.
Yeah. So he ends up bogeying, which means Rick can then lay up and take his double bogey and win by one and tap out for $40,000. Calvin Heimberg got himself back, I won't say into it, but up the leaderboard with that final round. He shot a 9-under final round to get to 11-under and finish in third.
Yeah.
And then Isaac Robinson finished in fourth, tied with Adam Hammes. Adam Hammes kind of had himself a weekend out there.
Yeah, he did.
He originally set the course record that was then broken by Ricky. This course just played so tough. Double digits was like mind-boggling out there. Mm-hmm. It was so good. I think Ricky shot that in round three. He basically just, from hole eight on, went unconscious to get himself up the leaderboard. Because like round three, if you're watching the front, Ricky just looked ticked. Like, he was not having fun out there.
Yeah.
He was just sitting on his stool, just looked out of it. He looked ticked off, which if you're a course, I guess is a bad sign, because that means Ricky's about to just go off on you. And that's what he did. From hole eight to hole 18, he birdied everything in sight and just missed hole 16. So
I was just getting PTSD of us playing Angry Beaver the whole time. Just like, oh my gosh, if we don't hit this gap, we have to scramble from the woods 400 feet away.
And there was a lot of OB. I loved the course. I loved it.
I didn't have a problem with it.
I thought it was great.
I think it's fine.
I thought it was great because it made it so exciting. Because even when Ricky had a few strokes going to 17 and 18, you knew how hard those holes were. It wasn't over. Because, yeah, I mean,
that's,
we saw...
No, that's a great thing about woods golf is there's always going to be separation because all you have to do is miss a gap.
Yeah, and it was... it was electric, but I think that was all the main storylines. Fantastic end of the season. Very exciting. I liked that they brought out the big check. People were commenting, tagging me in it. They did put
the
wrong date on FPO.
Those things expire after 90 days.
They tried to correct it. I don't know if they took a Sharpie to it or got it reprinted. I didn't see if the MPO check was the wrong date.
I didn't notice.
But the FPO one said 2022 on it.
How do you do that?
Oh, that's tough.
How do you do that?
It's just the one guy whose job it was, just messed up.
I totally, like, you get a free pass on that for like the first 2 to 3 months of the year. We're in October. You know what year it is.
Well, I'm surprised. I forget what year it is sometimes, but then I just look at my phone.
I'm surprised the company printing the check.
Really?
Yeah. I rarely ever write down what year it is. So sometimes
it's just like we've been in it for so long.
Well, I know, but like I don't think about what year I'm in very often. So sometimes I'll go to write down something.
I guess
year is it again? I was like, oh yeah, it's 2023, and so I forget what year we're in.
All right,
very I write well. A lot of checks, so
I don't write
I
any
think,
checks.
I guess because when I follow sports, I guess it helps because like you know what season we're in. I mean, on the pro tour, like
well, I'm. Forget whoever messed up at the Pro Tour. I'm surprised the printing company didn't catch it.
Just a second. Check it. If you're writing a check that's going to be that big and that important, reread everything and check everything.
Well, even like how did the email not correct itself? Because like this was sent to a printing company. Like if I type, I'm attested.
Company's just doing what they're just collecting. If I'm the printing company and I get that, I'm printing that sucker because I'm hoping they submit another order for the fixed one. That's what I'm doing.
No, it doesn't self-correct me. I let me type 2022 and didn't suggest 2023. I thought it might have.
Oh, that would be a wild.
I thought it might
autocorrect feature. But it didn't. Yeah, because what if you're just typing a past date?
Well, I just know like if I start to type a date, like it'll suggest today's date.
Yeah, oh,
but that's true. I was trying to write a future date to see. Who knows? Doesn't matter. They tried to print date over gate. It. It from the picture zoomed out, you can't even really tell.
Yeah.
Because it's just kind of it is so funny. There. But when you zoom in, it's like, ah.
It is really funny that like you were saying earlier this season, like just forget the trophy thing. Just do big checks. It'll look good optics wise. And then they put the wrong date on the check.
Yeah, that was tough.
That's like almost ironic. It's so funny.
What did you think of the trophy? Brody, I asked Brody what his trophy rankings were going to be. And he said he retired from trophy ranking.
Here's my opinion. Because people were hating on it big time.
I didn't mind it.
What was it? Weird shape.
So, well, they I
wanted,
can't tell you
they
what it
wanted
was.
It to look, they wanted it to look like a barber's pole. Did you catch on to that?
I did not.
Okay, so that is what they were trying to do.
Bad idea.
Well, I think that I respect that they tried, because like barber's
pole. It wasn't bad. I liked the trophy.
I respect that they tried to make something look like a trophy.
I'm going to Instagram.
But also embody a theme, and they kind of went with the theme of the. Now, it is a little weird to theme it after your sponsor, so maybe take a few points off for that. But I'm guessing that's what they were trying to do. It makes sense. To me, it looked like a barber's pole.
I was thinking, why is the ball on the top so small? Is the only question I was asking.
So I think size wise, it looked good. I'll put it this way. When I saw people holding it, I wasn't like, ew, what is that?
No, I didn't take away.
I think they had the right idea. It wasn't perfect.
It was a lot
done.
Better than a steering wheel.
Yeah.
My thing was when they handed it to him, it was big enough, it was shiny, it was clearly made for the event, and it was clearly professionally done. It wasn't made by some. Right. So when he held it up, like it was not embarrassing.
You see it, Connor?
I'm just looking at this red thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm guessing they were inspired by a barbershop pole. If not, then it's ugly.
I think there's almost. There's no describable way to say it's a barbershop pole.
Just because the ball on top.
But that's it. It's just the ball. I don't. It at least is trophy shaped.
I don't think it's bad.
It's kind of big. It's an ugly trophy, but it is a substantial trophy.
I felt like when I saw them lift it, I wasn't distracted.
It looks like they won something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like it looks like. Oh,
I was fine with it.
Yeah. I think. Again, it's an ugly trophy, but it is a substantial.
Yeah. I wasn't upset by it. But I was curious to hear Brody's ranking of it.
He's retired.
But he retired, so he refused to.
I think he's scared of what he's created.
I just don't know why they chose red or blue. Why wouldn't they just... If they went silver, if it was the same shape and it was just silver...
It's a Pro Tour.
I didn't mind red or blue either. The big thing to me is it clearly wasn't made by Jeff Spring the night before with like aluminum foil.
Yeah, there was thought put.
Or clay.
No, yeah, I don't mind it.
I was fine with it.
Yeah, we've definitely created a bit of an army in Brody as well, because now every time a trophy's posted, there's like a Reddit thread.
At the end of the day, it's commenting. A real trophy.
Yeah.
They have actual trophies, and that's good.
Get them.
Hit him with it.
It's not something else.
Before we get into Trevor's trivia, I wanted to bring up, it is the offseason now. So what are we looking at this offseason? Who's moving? Who's available?
Track it.
I'm just going to read you through everyone whose contract, whether this is an important person.
I'm going to rank them on a letter grade scale of how excited I am for their announcement.
And I'll say, mm-hmm, to whatever Trevor says.
Okay. We have Gavin Rathbun. There's a lot. So.
Gavin, no, that's okay. Gavin Rathbun, C.
He Ooh. Had a bad year this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, C. Not it's even a C plus, just a C. Yeah.
Connor O'Reilly,
C plus.
Nice guy.
More than Gavin Rathbun.
I met him. Really nice guy.
Okay, Tristan Tanner.
Good at telling stories.
Tristan Tanner, B minus.
Have you considered his haircut and beard?
No. Mm-hmm. B minus though.
Oh, dude. Tristan Tanner, there we go. I'll say it. He's looks good out there, yeah, man. I did not recognize him at all. Apparently, I haven't seen him since his YouTube videos back in the day.
Yeah.
And dude's cut.
Yeah.
Good looking.
Dustin Keegan. I didn't know he was still playing disc golf.
D.
Yeah. Jake Mon. Mm-hmm. The young guy who popped off
it. C plus. Yeah, I know him. He's huge. C plus.
Paige Hsu. She signed a 1-year deal last year.
C plus.
Austin Turner. DGA.
B.
Zach Melton.
You hearing Austin Turner a B?
Yeah, I don't know. Zach, ignore it. Just ignore it. He was injured all year.
Because he's kind of polarizing. Zach Melton, I'm going to give a C minus just because I know he's staying with Dynamic. And you'd be crazy to think otherwise.
Madison Walker.
D.
Jake Ebenheimer.
C.
Now, this one is an interesting one. Austin Hannum. Did not hear about him this year unless you're talking about Katrina Allen.
He did.
But he is with DGA, so probably just going to stay with
C.
them. Valerie Mandahano. Did not have a great year with the ankle injury.
I'd say B plus. I'm interested to see where she is.
Aaron Gossage.
Big Air.
Aaron's up this year. A plus.
Yeah, that's A plus.
Yeah, it says 1-year extension, 2023.
I see Aaron. Aaron kind of gives me Prodigy vibes.
Love the goose.
I get Prodigy vibes from him. I don't think he's going to go there. But
Holland Handley.
Oh, that's also an A plus.
Maria Oliva.
C.
Rebecca Cox.
D.
Chandler Fry,
the Chanimal. I'll give him a C plus.
Gavin Babcock's up.
Oh, heck yeah. He Big just Gav. Signed a 1-year deal with this man. He's almost guaranteed to have extended, so I'll just give him a B plus.
The fact that... Never mind.
Katrina Allen.
Oh, that's a good one. Actually, A plus, because she could retire.
Oh, that'd be fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah, she talked about that.
Oh,
I didn't. What are you talking about?
I thought it was just like a.
I thought that was just Trevor saying it.
Like, dang.
She told me before she wasn't sure what she would do after her contract ended on one of my shows.
Well, because this was the extension. Who knows? James Proctor.
A minus.
Lisa Fakus.
C minus.
Robert Burridge.
Ooh, B plus.
Eric Ascension.
This is such a funny thing that's happening right now.
Scott Withers.
C minus.
James Proctor again. Oh, because this is Thought Space and Infinite. Now Clash.
I thought he was with Infinite.
He's with Infinite too. Maybe I'll probably find him a third time on this list.
Okay.
Eric Oakley.
I can't believe this list is still going on.
We're like halfway.
Eric Oakley.
This is
not
awesome. Eric Oakley would be a B minus.
Evan Smith.
B plus.
Alexis Mandahano.
A minus.
Maria Oliva's Thought Space deals up, but we already talked about her. Haley King.
A plus.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that one. Philo Brathwaite.
Oh.
F.
F for Philo.
Nate Queen.
C.
Jessica Weiss.
Jail?
No. Trev.
C plus.
Now, this is an interesting one. Bradley Williams.
That is an interesting one. I would. That's an A plus.
He came in second.
Holly Finley.
C.
Emily Beach.
C plus.
Stacey Ronsley. There's
so many people on this list.
We're
Holy
not
cow.
Even close to the bottom.
This is crazy. This is the Armageddon of.
You might need
agency.
To start listing.
They're just so. I warned you before.
It's all right. We got time.
Chandler Kramer.
The Kramer dog.
That's what we're sticking B-. with, huh? Stick with the cream dog.
AJ Carey.
AJ Carey. The Care Bear.
D.
AJ Care Bear.
Deanne Carey.
Oh, the Care Bear.
Chris Clemens.
Oh, the
Clem
Bear.
B plus.
This one's going to get Trevor excited. Alden Harris.
Ooh. You excited, Trev?
A minus.
Oh.
Macy Valadez.
B minus.
Emerson Keith.
B plus.
Andrew Presnell.
B plus.
Andrew Fish.
C minus.
Vanessa Van Dyken.
D.
Now this one could get interesting. Kayla Visca.
Kayla Visca.
He's got jokes.
So
that's NA, invalid, null.
Missy Gannon.
Missy Gann's A plus.
Yeah, that's an interesting one there.
Dude, what in the heck?
Lori Lettinen.
C.
C. Matty O's contract's up.
A plus.
Wow, Matty O. That's exciting for me. I love him.
Casey White.
B.
Now here's the big one. Gannon Burr.
A plus plus.
Bannon Gurr.
Yeah. Okay, scrolling down. Sarah Hokum.
Oh my gosh. How are we C still plus. Going?
Juliana Corver.
D. She's not leaving Innova.
Brad Schick.
D.
Nicholas Schick Antela. Dog.
Nicholas Antela. Probably not leaving Dismania, but.
Interesting one, though.
A.
Here's another big dog. Eagle McMahon.
A plus.
Big Bird.
Bino Makala.
B plus.
How come no one calls Eagle McMahon Big Bird?
Garrett Gerthy.
Double G, I'll give him a B.
And the last one, probably the worst time for her contract to be up.
Ooh,
Paige Pierce.
A plus. That if now as I mean I'm like speechless right now. As we know, probably three quarters of those players have probably already been extended and just haven't been updated yet. But even the idea, like last year, I feel like we had a crop of like 12 players who might have a chance of hitting free agency. That was overwhelming.
That was insane.
If that's
just for multi-world. So
if that's what goes on this offseason, we're going to be entertained endlessly. I mean, every week, there was probably 10 players on there that are like legitimately very exciting to see what ends up happening. Mm,
it's a big offseason.
Buckle up, baby. I'm hyped now. That's,
I already buckled up.
All right, well, now that we got him hyped up, it's time for the fan favorite segment.
Hype.
Trevor's Trivia.
Trev Dog.
Right on, guys.
Hit him with it. Dog? Come on.
Cream Dog.
If you're listening, Chandler, let me know what you think.
Cream Dog.
Cream Dog.
He's got to like it more than the proctologist.
True.
James Proctor's never said
anything. Yeah, why do we call Chandler Kramer the proctologist?
Do you guys know?
We don't.
Do you guys know instead of getting like a... prostate exam now, you can poop in a box and mail it to this company?
I did not know that.
It's like a very popular thing now, so you don't have, yeah.
Okay.
I saw a commercial the other day.
Trevor's Trivia.
Trevor's Trivia. Welcome to Trevor's Trivia. Did you guys know you could poop in a box now?
That was the segment. All right, let's get into it.
just so you're not scared of turning 40.
Okay. I got enough time.
This is called, no you don't, dude. This is called, is it a real disc golf company?
Love it, Trev.
Great.
Is it a real disc golf company? These would be companies.
Get higher.
These would be, is it a real disc golf company?
No, you can start at the same. Just get higher.
Is it a real disc golf company?
Thank you. Much better.
Why
did that go on for so long?
These would all be companies that, like, not necessarily produce discs, but sell them, like brand them. Like, that's what we're going for here, just to give you a little bit of a hinty hint.
Like manufacturer, like or
like thought manufacturer, or like a thoughts based type situation.
Yeah. Like, but like not a retailer.
Correct.
What about NQV Sports?
Well, I guess they technically could be a retailer. I didn't look into it that much.
Well, like
they have their own discs.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm asking.
That is the question. Okay. It doesn't matter because you probably never heard of any of these.
Oh, okay.
That's what you think.
All right. I'll ask you both. Number one.
Wait. How does this work?
You're just gonna both. You're gonna hold.
We're going against each other.
We'll do it the way where you guys hold up a finger. So you're gonna hold up a one for yes and a two for no at the same time, so that we can time
and
it.
Say it while we do it.
Sure. Okay.
Yes.
That way, our audio listeners.
So we'll just Hunter. Say we won't say one or two. We'll
no,
just say
you
yes
hold
or
it
no.
up and then say what you said.
Okay.
Okay. The first one is Jester Disc Golf. Is that a real disc golf company?
Which one is which?
One is yes.
Okay.
Two is no.
Oh, I'm thinking.
Chairs down.
Jester Disc Golf.
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1.
Yes.
Yeah, they make the love putter.
That is correct.
Do we need to hold up the fingers, or can we just say yes or no?
Well, but if we stay, as long as we say it at the same time.
Yeah,
okay.
It's
okay.
Fine if you say it at the same time. Just try not to have you guys contradict yourself.
I understand.
The next company is Premier Angle Discs. Premier Angle Discs. Is that a real company? Is it not? 3, 2, 1.
I said no.
I said yes.
It is not a real disc golf company.
2 for 2.
Premier Discs is.
Yeah, Premier Discs.
I think that's where I got lost.
Hunter's up one.
Good
the
job,
next
Hunter.
One is called Outer Rim Discs. Is Outer Rim Discs a company? 3.
No, oh my gosh.
Yeah, really we're going rapid fire. 3, 2, 1.
I said yes.
I said no.
It is not.
Oh!
I'm pretty proud of that one. All that right, I'll tie it up.
Rim?
Hey, good job, man.
Gyro. It's just another word for knockoff gyro.
Okay,
but it's
next,
just the gyro. It's not the center.
Next, we have Terminal Velocity Discs. Is that a real company?
Is this a real company?
3, 2, 1.
Yeah. I said yes. Never Hunter said yes as well.
You would both be correct.
Thanks, Trev.
And the next one is Disc-stroyer Discs. So Disc-troyer Discs.
I mean.
Is that a real company?
Surely.
Three.
No, two, I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
One.
Yeah, only because I think your creativity would have come up with something better.
I think that you're way smarter. Yeah,
I
like
think
Disc-troyer.
You're smarter than Disc-stroyer Discs.
Dude. I could. Hey, man, shout out to Disc-stroyer Discs. Send me some discs. I'll throw them.
So it was a real company.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and Hunter were on the same wavelength. There.
I was just like, Trevor would not have thrown one out that obvious. Yeah.
Next we have...
like, WeMakeFrisbees.com.
Next we have Fourth Circle Discs. Ooh, circle one, circle two, circle three. Fourth Circle Discs. 3, 2, 1.
I was saying yes.
I said no.
It is yes.
Yeah, oh! Only reason... I won't give away my tell.
Don't give away his
I won't give away my
tell.
Secrets. I'll give you away my secret later.
What?
All right.
I got a secret.
Big Hunt's back up
secrets?
One.
You're keeping secrets? You're looking at his phone. That's
I
what
can't see I'm just phone. Kidding. I'm
just the next one we have here is Lightspeed Discs. Is Lightspeed Discs a real disc golf company? 3, 2, 1.
Gold, I said no.
You're both correct.
All right.
Hunter's still up one. Next we have Momentum Discs. Is Momentum Discs a real company? 3, 2, 1.
Yeah. I think so.
You're
well.
Both correct.
Heck
we have two more.
Okay.
Next, we have Wing It Disc Golf. Is that real? 3, 2, 1.
I think it, Hunter. I'm trying to get something
you're
different
correct.
As you.
Last one.
That's right.
Is it Wing real? It? Wing correct. It as in Wing It or W-I-N-G-A-T?
Wing It.
Okay.
Two wing separate words. It. Last one we have is Final Eclipse Discs. Is that a real company? 3, 2, 1.
Dang I said it. No.
And you are both correct.
I just wanted to
Hunt
switch
the win.
Hunter and have the possibility.
You guys really locked on by the end of it there.
Yeah, the only reason I got that one right that you said no was Trevor was making fun of the name too much. That I was like, it's got to be real because he wouldn't make fun of something he
well,
came that, up
that's
with.
That's why though. I thought he was trying to throw us off his scent.
No, more so what I was actually trying to do to throw you off the scent was I... Fourth Circle just sounded so obscure that I couldn't have come up with it. So I was trying to explain to you guys how they may have gotten their name so that you could...
Yeah, but that you when you realize. Started
the
explaining
fact that
it,
so
I was
obscure,
just like,
I believe in your creativity, Trev.
Okay.
I just was like,
Disc-troyer, seriously, Trev?
Trevor would have tried to make us believe it was a real company and not make us like laugh at why on earth would they come up with Fourth Circle.
I think he's smarter than that.
Well,
he wasn't. He's not
here's
smarter
the thing.
Than that.
Stupid.
I got it right.
Yeah, you're right.
Player of the Year got interesting, huh?
Oh.
Yep. Smooth transitions is what we're known for. It's season's over, so now it is time to discuss Player of the Year. And there's three main candidates here.
It's
Calvin
disgusting.
Heimberg, Gannon Burr, and Isaac Robinson. You'll have to wait till the grippies.
And double G.
You'll have to wait till the grippies to hear what we decide.
What about David Wiggins?
You'll have to wait till the grippies to hear what we
Big
decide.
Big wave.
But yeah. I'm going to just make the case for each player, and then you let us know in the comments what you decide.
Are you going to make Love a player it. A? You should do a player A, player B, player C
People
tweet.
Know.
You should do it anyways.
Okay.
Well,
do you want me to read these with the names, or do you want me to do the stats?
I'm actually going to make this graphic later for Instagram, so don't do it.
Okay. Well, I was going to make voting on grip locks.
You can
Instagram.
Do that, too. We can do this together.
Okay. So do you want me to read the names with associated with this?
You might as well, because I know very well what they did.
Yeah.
Okay. Just do it. Everybody knows. This is stupid.
All right. Calvin Heimberg, here's his resume.
Okay.
Okay, this is only the 2023 Pro Tour season, because that's really all that matters.
Yeah.
If you played A tier, who cares?
You mean
2020? I don't think he did, but
you
Gannon
mean 2022?
I meant 2023.
Gotcha.
So his average finish on the Pro Tour and at majors, this is all according to StatMando, and it does not factor in the Tour Championship.
Fine.
3.8.
That is an outrageous number.
It doesn't seem right.
It's the best
I think
part
of
his resume.
I think they put up a different stat on coverage, but hey, this is straight from StatMando.
That's the best part of his resume.
3.8 with his worst finish being 16th.
That is insane.
And that was at Champions Cup.
That is insane.
He has 2 Pro Tour wins and 1 silver event win. 13 podiums, 21 top 10s, and cash at every event. 100% cash rate.
It's a pretty awesome cash resume. Rate.
Wow.
When you read it like that, it's a little tougher to take away. That's a cool stat.
Next up, you have
GB.
Sir Gannon Burr. Average finish is 11.7. His worst finish was 50th at the Dynamic Discs Open.
It's not a bad average finish.
He has
sound good, though.
He has 3.
Calvin, that part of Calvin's resume would beat everybody.
That sounds good, yeah.
3 Elite Series wins.
Okay.
And 2 silver event wins. Mm. 1 being at the Open at Austin. Nope. 1 being at Blue Ridge and 1 being at Kansas City Wide Open.
So one Blue
Ridge
fake.
Was very well attended. Kansas City was not very well attended.
Not at all.
So something to factor in there.
Mm. Kansas City I'm was factoring. Darn near a fake win.
And then last but not least, you have Sir Isaac Robinson.
Sir.
Average finish 15.68 with his worst finish being 82nd at the Las Vegas Challenge.
Hit him with it.
He has 2 wins, but both are major championships.
This is the hardest player of the year.
So this is where there's going to be 3 groups of thought here, okay? And
yeah.
the people who have these groups of thought are going to land on each of these players differently.
Mm-hmm.
Group of thought number 1 is player of the year belongs to the player that was most consistently at the top.
That's where my mind... Now, I'm not the smartest person for these stats, but that's
none of these are wrong.
Yeah, no, these are all
three different ways to view at
right off the bat. In my head, that feels the best. Well, he consistently did the best.
Yeah, so that person will automatically think there's no way anyone can argue against Calvin Heimberg.
Mm-hmm.
Then person number 2, which kind of is where person number 2 will battle between Gannon and Isaac. It depends on how much you value a major. Person number 2 is player of the year is about wins, and player of the year
also
is about
makes sense.
Basically, legacy performance. Those people will say, it doesn't matter. This is more where I fall. It doesn't matter what Calvin did not winning because he was not winning. Then you have Gannon Burr, won 3 times on the Elite Series stage, 2 times on a silver event stage, and you have Isaac Robinson, who won 2 times on a major stage. He won 2 majors in 1 season. Incredible. The question that separates those 2 groups of thought is how much do you weigh a major versus an elite series / silver event?
It's like breaking my brain.
And so when you look at those 3, it basically just is what train of thought is the right one for player of the year.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite reasons player of the year exists is because they're all right.
The subjectivity of it is great. Now, we should probably look up the criteria again so we can... Good luck finding
luck finding this.
But I'm pretty sure this year they made it even heavier on objective things such as like your tour points. There's still voting involved. Like, there will still be a player and media vote, I'm pretty sure. The player and media vote, I'm almost 1,000%
positive.
So, the
player of the year is determined to split vote between media members and tour card players.
Oh, so they took away the tour
points. Let me make sure this is this year. February 23rd, 2023. Yes.
So, it's just media and player
vote. It's just
vote. So, with that being said, I think there's 1,000% chance it goes to Calvin. From what I've heard, when you talk to most people, they're like, how could you not pick Calvin? So, and I think the players especially will pick Calvin. And he's a likable player. So I would say my educated guess is that Calvin wins player of the year.
I would agree.
In my head, it's really tough.
I don't think Calvin wins my player of the year.
I can't decide. Because you're right. When you talk about consistency, he was consistently the best.
I like to look at player of the year as what season would I most want.
That is a good way to look
at
it.
I would want Isaac Robinson's. I want to be a world champ and Champions Cup. I'd want 2 majors. Because 10 years from now... No one's going
to
look back and remember who won Jonesboro.
I'd have to agree.
And who won Vegas. But people will remember the world champ and a Champions Cup.
If I thought about it that way, that is who I would pick
like,
as well.
You also have to think, and you can't answer this for Calvin, so you have to answer it from yourself, but I would imagine Calvin Heimberg would trade his season for Isaac Robinson's.
It's a good chance he might.
Because that gives him a world championship and another major. It gives him 2 majors, which he has 0 to his name right now.
Yeah.
But it gives him 2 majors to his name. And he still would have like a solid season. It's not like Isaac Robinson sucked everywhere else. No. He still has a solid season.
Yeah, won plenty of money.
2 majors.
The way I think about it, which I don't think that I'm more correct than any of the other ways, because I think there's good arguments for each one. I think that you make a really good argument. But what makes the most sense for player of the year in my head, it means the player that played the best this year, the best disc golf. And in my head, it makes sense to look at average, like, who played the best disc golf, and I feel like average Calvin played the best.
And that's how a lot of people view it.
I would say, yeah, the tough thing is just how do you quantify playing the best? Because, like, if you just quantify by finishing place on average, yes, easily Calvin. But if the goal of disc golf is to win, then he didn't play the best this year. Because he didn't win as much.
No, because if the, that's,
which
the
that's a t- and that's a brutal way to look at it. Because
if,
like,
it's just winning, then you have to go Gannon Burke.
Yeah, who has I genuinely, I'm like playing devil's advocate
with
myself.
So I, that's where
no
I don't
idea
feel like
who I'd pick right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like it's winning, but I understand.
I
why
genuinely
it
feel
it
like
would to some people,
I feel like 33% split in my head between all three.
Well, here's my thing:
it's hard.
If
it's hard,
really difficult.
How I look at this sport, right, is
somebody else to win to make.
If you're at the top, right, if you're our Calvin, Gannon, or Isaac. And you ask them, what's your goal each and every weekend?
It's to win.
It's to win. They're not showing up to a tournament not to win.
Yeah.
They're not showing up to a tournament to come in third average. They're showing up to win.
But that would be player of the round, not player of the year, though.
No, but every time they're showing up, they're trying to win.
Who accomplishes their goal the most times throughout the year?
So Gannon Burr accomplishes his goal the most. Yeah. Isaac Robinson accomplished everyone's goal in life as a disc golfer, world champion. But he also won a second major. He won half the majors he showed up to.
But Calvin technically beat the most people.
That doesn't matter. He lost.
Yeah,
he lost.
It's all about how, it's all about how you look at it.
I value wins.
Yeah,
that's how I've always valued player. Of the
typically,
year.
I do. It's really tough when Calvin put together such. I would feel differently
towards Calvin if he didn't choke away wins left and right, but he was in a position to win consistently and didn't.
Yeah,
and so that to me, I'm like, he was there. Sure, he got himself in contention. But he fell apart.
It's tough. Because the other thing about player of the year that makes it tough
is he didn't fall apart. He got third.
Yeah, but he was trying to win. He wasn't trying to come third.
Yeah.
The other thing that's tough with player of the year is, too, is, like, you want a player who you feel like was good the entirety of the year. Like, they embodied the year. And realistically, Calvin was the only one that did that, per se. I mean, Isaac's wins were a little bit spread out from one another. I just wish he would have won like
oh, but Calvin didn't win since April.
Yeah, but he was still playing good disc golf. Like, some of those guys were a little streaky. Now, Isaac, I would say after his world title, he was good from there on out. Or after Champions Cup, realistically, he was pretty good from there on out.
And again, we're not giving the grip lock official answer until the grippies, but in my opinion, it's between Gannon and Isaac.
Yeah.
Because I value player of the year to me is about the season, body of work that will be remembered. And that comes down to wins. That doesn't come down to finishing place. Because no, I can't. If you ask me who came in fifth place at 2020 Waco, I can't tell you.
It's true.
I have no idea.
It's true.
But you go to wins, and I can name USDGC winners back for who knows how long. I can name world's winners back for a long time.
I feel the weight of the media.
And plus, well, the problem is the Pro Tour Player of the Year doesn't matter. It's the Grippy Player of the Year, and that's completely on us.
Yeah,
so
their awards are fake.
It's tough. Let us know in the comments who you think and why.
Give us good arguments for every single player that we aren't considering.
Oh, because the thing is,
I genuinely haven't really thought.
Because in my opinion, there is, like I said, player of the year doesn't have a defined.
No, it's subjective.
Thing, so everyone views it a different.
That's
way.
That's the hard thing,
and you can view.
That's the beauty of it, and the pain.
You can view each player. Yeah. You can view each player as player of the year. Like, you can view each of these three players as player of the year. Now, if you try to argue for someone else, it doesn't really make sense.
That's at the end of the day. I just want to, present arguments to why I like Calvin. But then we just view the player of the year as something completely different, which means that we can't, like, agree on it because we think player of the year means something different.
Yeah.
That's
And that's a frustrating thing.
Yeah.
That's how everyone is, though.
Yeah.
That's what's beautiful about it, is that's why the
it's beautiful
player of the year is my favorite award because it's so subjective that no one will ever agree on it. Any sport, basically.
There's not a right answer.
My favorite is Grippy, which is, I think, the most subjective, is comeback player of the year.
That's a good one, too.
Because it could be somebody who, we could make it anything we want.
Yeah.
Mm. Who's ready for the Grippies?
I'm ready, Trev.
All right. Well, there you have it. Don't forget to comment down below and join us next week, possibly for the Grippies. Possibly the Grippies will be in 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
And if you work at Harbor Freight, sponsor us.
We'll see you next week.